Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 13th of December. And we are doing an open line this hour of the program. We haven't done one in a long time, and we do seriously consider your suggestions. Some of them are terrific, things we've never thought of doing, and others are additions to programs and topics that we've already done. So let me give you our phone number. I hope you'll call with your suggestions because they are important. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. We have one line open right now, which is unusual for our open line, so grab it at this very moment. There are other ways to reach us as well. You can tweet us, for those of you who are technologically sophisticated. That's at KDunnShow, or you can send us an email, and that's talk@WPR.org. And so we go to you. First, we'll start with Joan, who couldn't stay on the line, but Joan wanted to suggest Wendell Berry, the wonderful author, which is a great suggestion, and I have written it down. Joan, thank you. We go to John in Harvard, Illinois. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Given the fact that California is pretty much a one-party state and all things seem to emanate across the country from California and or New York, what would it be like if it were just a Democratic Party only, a single party, and no Republican Party anymore? I would relish that or cherish that, but would love to hear if the possibilities of.
Yeah, that might be an interesting program to look at because we have some all-Democratic states, some all-Republican in terms of state legislatures, and how what they're doing is maybe very different or maybe similar. It would be an interesting show. I think it's a good... Whoops, John is gone. Well, thank you, John. It's a good show. All right. Victor in Milwaukee. Hello, Victor.
Good morning.
Hi.
I really enjoyed your program on Sam Cooke. That was educational and enlightening.
Oh, good. Yeah, we love Sam Cooke. We had fun putting that together.
I'd like to suggest one who passed away a couple of days ago. It's the sitar legend Ravi Shankar.
Mm-hmm.
You think of him, you immediately think of the Beatles. And I am a Beatles fan, believe it or not. And I can list all their songs.
Mm-hmm.
And another one that I would like to suggest is... Johnny Mathis. He's along the same general as Sam Cooke. I would love to see a program on him as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we enjoy doing those. We, to tell you the truth, we talked about Ravi Shankar, and then we didn't want to run the risk of just doing dead artist shows because we did Leonard Bernstein last week, and then we did Sam Cooke, and so it would have been a bit much to do Ravi Shankar. But I think down the road we would love to do a show on Ravi Shankar. And I agree with you. Johnny Mathis was an important figure in American music scene. We love doing those shows, so all I can do is say thank you for saying that you like hearing them so we can do more of them.
All right, have a good morning.
All right, thanks, Victor. You too. Let's go to Nina in Wanakee. Hi, Nina.
Well, hi, Kathleen. I love your show, and there's a lot of interest now in Buddhism and meditation. And we have a Rinpoche who lives right here in Wisconsin, and I would love to hear you interview her.
Okay.
She has two books out, and she teaches all over the country. And in Germany, and she's humorous and entertaining and very insightful.
And what is her name, Nina?
Her name is Domo Geshe Rinpoche, and I have contact information.
Do you have access to email? Can you send that to us?
Sure. And she has a hermitage right near Black River Falls,
mm-hmm.
and people can go for retreats for extended periods of time or a weekend. And it's called Lotus Lake Retreat Center. And I'd be glad to email you the information.
Okay, great. Please do. And Rhonda tells me we should go to our online form at WPR.org. And
okay.
We'll receive it. So that makes it easy.
Okay, thanks, Kathleen.
Thanks. Thanks, Nina, for your call. Our number is 800-486-8655. Deb in Portage. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay, not to beat a dead horse here, but I have another music suggestion.
Okay.
And that is, there's a new biography out on Bruce Springsteen. He happens to be my favorite, but I'm not the only one. And I thought that, you know, he's such a rock icon, and I thought maybe there was a way that a story could be woven in, because he's from New Jersey and he's had, you know, a lot to do with some of the fundraising as an aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. I thought maybe there could be kind of a combination story there.
Yeah, actually, we have that on our desk, and I know that we're going to do that. I'm not sure when. Did you see the concert last night? I didn't see it.
No, I didn't. It's the holidays, and we're crazy busy, so I haven't seen too much of anything. I've pretty much only been listening to public radio.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome.
What a nice present for us. Okay, thank you. Yeah, we do have that biography, and I know that we're... Rhonda, tell me the story. What's the story? We're going to do it. Okay, we don't have a date, but we will do it in the not-too-distant future, of course. David in Rhinelander. Hi, David.
Hi, Kathleen. We seem to be on a musical thread this morning.
I know.
I suggested this last May. Well, actually, probably in June. I would love to hear you cover the life of Doc Watson.
Oh, we talked about doing Doc Watson when he passed away, but we didn't.
He was a compelling life story, and yes. There were so many musicians have been influenced by the man, and a great guest to talk about the life of Doc would be Sam Bush, musical collaborator and friend for many years. So.
Okay, yeah. Our family went to the Doc Watson Bluegrass Festival in North Carolina many years ago, and it was just wonderful.
I've been going to that festival since 1995.
Have you?
The year. And last year it was very evident that Doc was on his, you know, it was going to be the last one, and it was, wow, it was a tough one. And this coming one is going to be just as tough because he's a big, he'll be missed.
Yes.
Phenomenally
talented man and a good man.
Yep.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you. I love getting these musical suggestions. Let's go to John in Madison. Hi, John.
Hi. Well, I have run into a book that I didn't think I would ever see the likes of again, but I did, thank God. It's called The Untold History of the United States by Peter Kuznick, Kuznick, a professor from the American University, and also Oliver Stone, the famous filmmaker, Platoon, you know, W, JFK, Nixon. He's doing a miniseries on this, and this book is the accompanying book, but the book in and of itself is a masterpiece. It's fully equal to William Bloom's Killing Hope or Howard Zinn's the People's History of the United States. It is an incredible, incredible book. I would recommend to anybody that wants to find out what was really going on in the United States during the 20th century to get a hold of the book. It goes from World War I up through the President Obama's latest administration. The other book is called Censored 2013. You know, the Censored Project puts out one of these every year. The latest one is just as good as the last one, and I think everybody owes it to themselves to see what they've been missing in the regular news.
Okay. Thank you, John. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Ann in Waterville. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This is not a musical bent. This is current issues going on in northeast Iowa and in Wisconsin, and it's the frack sand mining controversy. And it's a very strong environmental issue and issue on energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be a good thing for Wisconsin Public Radio to cover. Maybe you are already. I don't know.
Yeah, we haven't done a lot of shows on it, but I know it certainly has been covered on our station, but it may be time for us to take a look at that.
Well, it's not being covered by the regular media, and it needs to be gotten into the eye of the public because what's happening is not being told.
All right.
And I think we need to get more information out to the public.
Thank you, Ann, for your call.
Thank you.
Anita Kiwaskum, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm calling because my brother has recently come out with a book. He was in Vietnam in 1968 and 69, and over the last 6 years, he has put together stories from his time there and actually been in contact with the other soldiers that were there when he was. And the book was written by himself and author Adrian Falcione, and it's called Waiting on Deros, D-E-R-O-S, and I think it would be an awesome read for anyone that's interested in the Vietnam War and the soldier stories there.
All right, I'm sorry, I can't hear you real well. What is it, Waiting on what?
It's Waiting on Deros, D-E-R-O-S.
Okay.
And it's personal stories from my brother, Floyd Odekirk's time in Vietnam.
Yes, no, I heard all of that. Okay, Anita, thank you. And if you want to send us an email at WPR.org and let us know where we can get the book and more about your brother, that would be helpful.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Anita.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye. Sean in Superior. Hi. Whoa, hi. Sean, where are you?
I saw a little bit of a documentary yesterday about the Wizard of Oz and that stating that it was an allegory for a populist economic movement where they would make more silver money available. And this movement was led by William Jennings Bryan. And Dorothy basically had silver slippers because that was the answer all along. And I wouldn't mind hearing more about that, but I wouldn't mind hearing an economist talk about the principles behind what this economic system would be, where the government would issue money instead of debt. And I guess, you know, North Dakota's had its own state bank since 1919, and apparently they said there's a bill in Minnesota to do the same thing, and that we should be doing this as on a national scale. And it's still, they said that was the only way to solve our debt crises. And the website for it was www.thesecretofoz.org.
Okay.
And it was
Thank
really
you.
Interesting.
Thank you. Sean, where are you? He can't hear me. It's so noisy. Sean, thank you. Thanks for the call. Let's go to, he's on a truck. Yeah, I think so too. Susan in Madison. Hi.
Good morning. My suggestion is pretty much the opposite end of the spectrum of the music suggestions, but I think quite relevant during the holiday season, and that is to spend some time talking about suicide and particular, a lot of the myths that surround it. I certainly bought every single one, and with a tragic consequence, my child committed suicide. And I think maybe, perhaps, if I'd known about some of these myths, it might not have happened. I don't know, but this is certainly that time of year where people get down. And one person I know is very knowledgeable and well-spoken. Her first name's Vicky at this suicide survivors group in Madison, but mm-hmm. I'm sure there are lots of people you could draw from suicide. Suicidologists, I believe they're called, or mm-hmm. psychiatrists. But anyway, I haven't really heard many programs about that, but maybe there have been.
Yeah, if you want to use, Susan, that same WPR.org, please do that and let us know about that group. And I'm sorry that, oh boy, that's just going to be.
It's a bummer. But anyway, right. If one other person could learn from it, it would be wonderful.
All right.
Anyway,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Susan.
Yep.
Gary in Boscobel. Hi.
Thanks, Kathleen. I think it was yesterday or the day before on the news, I heard of two huge banks, I think they're both out of Great Britain, that had been fined by the United States government over $1 billion for laundering drug money, and some of that money was being channeled into the terrorist groups in the Middle East. And then I heard a little bit, quite a while back, on Wells Fargo Bank that had been caught involved in illegal laundering of drug money, too. And I'd like to hear a program that would go into an in-depth talk about these banks and how they end up laundering drug money and supporting terrorists and why they don't get more severe punishment put on them because of their illegal activities and detrimental activities to countries all over the world.
Do you remember, was it a news piece that you heard, Gary?
Pardon me?
Was it a news piece or a talk show, or what were you listening to?
I think it was on public news or one of the news stations.
Okay.
I think I can't remember the letters of the bank. It was USBC or some huge big bank in England, one of the biggest banks in the world.
Okay.
And the other one, I think, was I think it was called Standard something or other, which was also, I think, British based. And this was just yesterday or the day before that this was on some news program. Maybe it was on Link TV.
Okay.
Well, newscast on Link TV.
All right. We'll run it down. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Bye. Alec in Waukesha. Hi.
Hi. Love the show. I was just calling to... Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, cool. I was calling to say that I want to see an episode on the education system of the Netherlands as compared to the education system in the United States. I watched a short video on from Upworthy.com, and the Netherlands education system is just so much more relaxed and yet so much more productive than the education system in the United States. So if we could do like a compare-contrast episode or something along those lines, possibly.
Okay. Actually, we could do a whole series of those, couldn't we? Because we got the Netherlands, we got China, we got Australia, we got you
exactly.
name it.
Exactly.
Right. But all right.
The reason that Netherlands are so interesting is because their work ethic is so well implemented that they don't need a lot of energy to put into it to get a lot of output.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you, Alec.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye. Oh, we have to pause for a moment and we'll return. We're doing an open line. We don't do them very often, but we've already had some great suggestions, and we do this to be in touch with you and to find out what you want to hear between 9 and 11. 800-486-8655 is our number. The email here is talk@wpr.org. And if we're asking you to give us more information about your suggestion, or if you can't get through or don't want to call or email right now, you can go to the wpr.org/Kathleen Dunn and just fill out the online form. It's wpr.org/Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back to your phone calls. Barry in Eau Claire. Hi.
Hi. I'd be interested in a show about paleontology. There's a series of mass extinctions in the Earth. We all know the dinosaurs went extinct, but there was a Cambrian extinction when all the trilobites disappeared, and there's a whole lot of other ones.
Mm-hmm.
I was just reading a book called Gorgon by a paleontologist named Peter Ward. I finally got around to reading one of my bookstore specials. It's dated 2004. But... he's a great storyteller, and he's just got me utterly intrigued by these periodic extinctions that occur throughout the Earth's geological history.
What's the name of the author, Barry?
Peter Ward, W-A-R-D.
Okay. Sure.
The one I read is Gorgon, but he's written other books, too.
Okay. Yeah, we'd be up for that.
But I think extinctions is a great subject. Considering whatever will happen with global warming and what will go extinct.
Well, we hope to prevent them, right?
Yes, really.
So we better talk about them before we can't talk anymore. All right, Barry, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
Sarah in Zion, hi.
Hey there. Well, I have had this wish that you would to hear a show about Richard III for a while because I guess there's a movement among historians to, they sort of thought differently about his whole reputation and all the things that he was supposed to have done. They're saying, no, there's a lot of other explanations for that. And, well, because I only know that because I've been reading a bunch of novels, and there's historical novels, and there's this one that's really great called The Sun in Splendor, all about Richard III, and it just, and then so I joined the Richard III Society online,
oh,
which
yeah.
is like, a big
that's
organization in England and the USA, and dedicated to fixing his reputation. And like these people say that he was a really good king, and he could have been a great king, and he was betrayed by everybody, and he didn't do the things they said he did, and his successor wrote the history that made him a hunchback and killed the twins when that wasn't really true at all.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what they say.
That's what they say. Sarah, how did you become so interested in this that you became a member of that society?
It was because of this book called The Sun and Splendor by Sharon K. Penman, which just was so glowing about him. And and then her arguments at the end of the book were so convincing that I just, for some reason, it just, he got, I mean, so many bad things happened to him, like just really, really bad luck all through his life. And yet he could be seen as such a, really a good person. And just all these horrible things happened to him. And then he's known as this horrible man who killed his...
Yes, I know.
And it's not true. I don't know. Something about it just really grabbed me that he got a really bad deal.
All right. Got a bum rap. Thanks, Sarah, for the call. The American Players Theater did a great Richard III last season. I think we talked about it. Yeah, we did a show on that. We did a show on Richard III. So maybe we can do a follow-up on Richard III. Depends. But thanks for the suggestion. Dwayne in Onalaska. Hi.
Hi there. What my topic would be, and this is a real current issue, is the I would like to see a discussion on and know more about, is the if we don't get the farm bill passed, they are saying that at least in the dairy world, that we would revert back to a law that was either in the 70s or the 80s. Which in turn, like say for instance right now, milk is $20 for 100 pounds, it would double in price, which would put it at $40 for 100 pounds, which that could drive, a gallon of milk in the store could be $5 a gallon or $6.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's a concern, especially since we are in a dairy-driven state.
Right.
I thought it'd be a good topic for a show.
Yes, it is a good topic. We tend to not pay as much attention to that issue as we should, Dwayne. It's a good idea.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. Bye. You're listening to the Ideas Network here on Wisconsin Public Radio, and we're doing one of our rare open lines trying to get ideas. Not trying. It's easy to get terrific ideas from you. You just need to call us. Of conversations you'd like to have from 9 to 11 here every morning, or at least for us, Monday through Thursday. We go to Greg in Glidden. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you this morning?
All right. How are you?
Good.
Good.
My suggestion, Matt LaPay, the voice of the Wisconsin Badgers. He was on Larry Miller's show a couple of months ago. From Barry to Bull, why not Bucky?
Okay, well.
I think some, because I feel that sports coverage at times it kind of gets lost in the shuffle.
It does. You're right. But we got a big Rose Bowl thing going on. So, mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Laurel in Duluth. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen. What I would like to hear is a program on expiration dates on canned goods. I know there are some things that are, they will expire, but canned goods seems that they're probably a lifetime of 50, 60 years.
Really?
Yes.
Why? Well, that's why you want this show, right? I gotcha.
I swear my wife stands with a stopwatch looking at the dates on cans. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Laurel. Jerry and Menasha, hi.
Hi. I've just finished a book called In Afghanistan, 200 Years of British, Russian, and American Occupation.
Mm.
It's by David Loyne, L-O-Y-N, who is from Britain. It's fabulously well-researched. I would like to see this particular subject discussed on your program.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds very interesting, Jerry. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don in Wausau. Hi.
Hi. How are you today?
Fine. How are you?
I'm getting better every moment.
Good.
Anyways, I'd like you to talk about the Department of Workforce Development here in Wisconsin. And what that refers to is like workman's comp laws.
Okay.
What we're finding out, or at least what I'm finding out here, I live in Wausau, and there's a local radio station that's giving a lot of truth about, for instance, people being able to sue their employees for work injuries, which basically workman's comp prevents that from happening. because it's an insurance program.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what has to be brought out or brought to the attention, especially with all the labor disputes and stuff going on right now, people have to know the truth.
The truth is always good.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Thanks for the call.
You have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Marilyn in Cleveland. Hi.
Good morning. I would like to see public radio have as guests the kind that are not on the lamestream media, and namely people like Noam Chomsky or Amy Goodman, who can talk. They talk about the political situation and put in a different perspective than what we hear on, say, the Lair Hour.
Okay. Thanks, Marilyn.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal in Willow River. That's
Good
a pretty
morning.
Name, Willow River.
I would like to see a program in regards to the abuses that occur on our factory farming system and slaughterhouses. I've been listening to National Public Radio for several years, and that's one issue that I have not once ever heard. Perhaps it has come up at some point, but I've never heard it discussed.
Well, I think one of our book club discussions is going to be on the jungle, Upton Sinclair.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
but we have talked about it, maybe not for a whole hour for a long time. It's come up maybe more peripherally, I can't say the word. But it would be good. We should look at farming more.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we really need to, because it's rampant. It's absolutely horrific. And it really, really needs to change.
All right, Crystal, thank you.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh.
Bye now.
Bye. James in Magnolia. Hi.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to see a show about the approval process for pharmaceutical medicines. A couple of years back, I heard an FDA official on public radio saying, yeah, even when the results are bad, we're not trying to keep anything from the public. We just don't publish the results. And it's something no one wants to talk about. According to many sources, pharmaceutical medicines are the biggest killer of Americans, rivaling heart disease every year. And I think, you know, it's just amazing what's going on. But I don't know if everyone's on pills, so they don't want to discuss it, or it's just a topic you guys should cover. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, James, for the call. Art in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Art.
So the guest I would suggest is Peter Kornbluh from National Security Archives in Washington, D.C., and it relates to where we are at in terms of any possibility that Obama will review our policy towards Cuba. Currently, there's a person named Alan Gross being held by Cuba for U.S. story as he was trying to aid the Jewish community in getting Internet access, and the Cuban story as he was working as an agent of the U.S. and distributing, trying to set up some kind of high-tech technology that wasn't traceable, satellite phones, etc. And the word in Washington is that Obama can't move to review our Cuba policy until Cuba releases Alan Gross, and the Cubans say they would love to sit down and talk to the U.S. in terms of also releasing the Cuban Five, who've been in prison for over 14 years for working for Cuba and the U.S. trying to stop terrorism based in Florida. So Peter Kornbluh visited Alan Gross. He's an expert. He ran the Nation magazine special issue on Cuba. And he was in the news last week, his report on what Gross's situation is like. A lot of hype about how Gross may be very ill and counter stories on that. And this is being held up as a roadblock to any normalization of efforts between the U.S. and Cuba. So he would be a very authoritative and newsworthy person.
All right.
Kornbluh with a K.
Got it.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Bye.
Art. Rich in Rhinelander. Hi.
Hi, good morning. I'd like you to have Brian Stevenson, who is listed in the current issue of the Smithsonian Magazine as one of the innovators who are rocking the world. The blurb says, the article is by Chris Hedges, and it says, this legal crusader has given thousands of young people and Americans in America's prisons the most valuable gift, a second chance. And this is linked to a program that I know you've done earlier. I know you had Michelle Alexander on. She wrote The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness.
Yes.
Which is the common read for Unitarian Universalists in 2012, 2013. We're doing it in Minocqua. And on January 27th at Nicolet College in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, we're having Lisa Brooks, the outreach director of the Southern Poverty Law Center in Montgomery, Alabama, coming in to speak about the state of hate and extremism in America in light of what happened in Oak Creek and the Sikh Temple. So I think there are a number of ideas there for programs in the month coming up. Okay?
Thank you so much, Rich. Thank you. Thanks for the call. And we go to is it Samantha or Samantha?
Samantha.
Samantha, hi.
Hi. I'd love to hear a show about micro remediation. It's using fungi to pull petroleum products out of soils so we could clean up all those darn oil spills that we have. And to follow up some more about fungus, it seems like I'm seeing so many things online and in presentations like off of TED. I don't know if you know it. I found it on Netflix. But using fungus to clean up soils and stuff downstream from farms and stuff where we can clean the fertilizers and stuff out of our water.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd really love to hear more about that.
Okay. Thanks, Samantha.
Thank you.
Bye. Darlene in Rhinelander. Hi.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I don't hear too much talked about this, and especially now after Sandy has been around, Isaac, and the different disasters that we've had. Nobody seems to be talking about how much it's costing the federal government, the state government, the ratepayers, for the utility companies to go out, mutual aid, and rebuild and put those poles back up and transmission lines instead of burying them. And I think that this has gotten out of hand. If it's all destroyed, they can go and bury them at that time, and we don't have redundancy doing this over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Darlene, who do you suggest we talk to?
Well, one idea comes to mind is the Citizen Utility Board. They might have an idea.
Okay.
Of course, the utilities will say it's too expensive, but how much is it costing us in the long run to redo this all the time, especially in prone areas?
Okay. We really haven't done our show yet, and we've talked about it, of redoing all of our infrastructure with all of what you just talked about in mind. Which would be a good show. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Harry in Madison. Hello, Harry.
Yes, hi. Good morning. Thank you, Kathleen.
Sure.
We're at a period in our history now when we seem to have forgotten how to compromise. And I think it would be beneficial if we could get a university professor in political science to discuss the way in which the Constitution was ratified and the impact of the Federalist Papers, especially Federalist 10, and Federalist 51, on helping us to deal with the gridlock that there was over the ratification of the Constitution. The situation was very similar to what we have now, and we seem to have forgotten or lost the capacity to compromise. So I think Federalist 10, Federalist 51, and the ratification process discussed by a political science professor would be very helpful to
yes.
the country.
Okay. Did you happen to hear our book club selection when we read some of the Federalist Papers and talked about them? You may want to go to our archives if you didn't, Harry, because it was an interesting show.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
You didn't? Okay. No. And I can't off the bat. Brett will remind me of the papers that we read, but and when that show was on. I hope to tell you that before the end of this show so you can listen to it.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, right. Harry. Uh-huh. Right. Bye. Jim in Osceola. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Got a couple medical things. One, medical assistance or badger care to have somebody on from the state to, or somebody from the university to discuss who is on it. Because
okay.
most people think it's just a bunch of poor people that don't want to work, whereas, as my understanding, it's 50 to 60% of the nursing home patients, so that's grandmas, grandpas, aunts, and uncles, and that people should understand what supplemental security income is. Those people are also on medical assistance, and that's our mentally challenged and physically challenged people. And if we want to cut out all this medical assistance, what are we going to do with those people and the families that aren't able to take care of them? And the other issue that I've never heard discussed on there, and I think you've got that guy from UW on public health or somebody else that would understand that, is unreimbursed care. As I understand, the Hospital Association of Wisconsin says about $1.2 billion a year, and somebody from with healthcare economics background, how does that affect our health insurance costs, all these people that aren't able to pay bills, and the charity care that hospitals give up? As I understand, in our little hospital here in Osceola, it's almost $800,000 a year. And when you figure the bankruptcies and whatnot, it would be good to have somebody with a healthcare economics background to discuss that.
Okay. Yes, you're right. Thank you, Jim.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, we've had, just so you hear some of the other suggestions that are coming in online, Caitlin called in to say that she would like a conversation about being transgender, specifically on the journey to transitioning male to female. Most online information is outdated, and to keep your job and not be outed in your community is safe. It's very hard to find resources, especially right after the time that you first admit to yourself that you are transgender. That would be an important and interesting show. We're on it. Greg in Eau Claire, hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering if you guys ever had a guest, Cass R. Sunstein. He's the author of the Second Bill of Rights, FDR's Unfinished Revolution and Why We Need It More Than Ever. Mm-hmm. That came out in 2004. Mm-hmm. And he talks about, negative rights and positive rights, like the original Bill of Rights that we have, and the idea of social and economic rights, and how if we should implement those rights, and why or why not. Mm-hmm. He gives a very good, this book is very good. He's got some good ideas as how to implement those without having the courts involved, the Supreme Court. And I just thought that he would be a good, the reason why I'm asking this is because what's on the table right now as far as Congress, they're talking about what's going to be cut in social services.
Right.
And, I think it would be a good, good topic to have.
Thank you very much for your call. We appreciate it. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, and I'm sure it's as interesting for you as it is for me to listen to everybody suggest program ideas. They're just everywhere, aren't they? There's so many of them, all different topics. Our lines have been crowded, but there will be openings. The Federalist Papers book club that we did was on Halloween, October 13th. 31st of 2012. If you missed that particular show, you can hear it on our archived programs. I need to pause, so let me do that. And then we'll be back and take more of your open line phone calls. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Open line, 800-486-8655. The question is direct and simple. What would you like to hear during the hours of 9 to 11, Monday through Thursday? Arlene in New Berlin. Hi.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for taking my call. This subject has been bothering me for a very long, long time. George Washington never wanted our constituents in Washington to be a career politician, and I want to know why, after two terms, they aren't kicked out of office and somebody else put in. They have a job. They don't do it, and if you can't do it, you're voted out and a new person comes in. I believe that that's the American way, and obviously these career politicians can't get a grip, then they should go back home and get a real job. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Arlene, for the call. Randy in Pewaskum. Hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Something I haven't heard talked about much any place is we have the Affordable Care Act coming in, and something that hasn't been talked about are the dozen new taxes that are in that bill. I'd like to have somebody come in and talk about what all those new taxes are, who they're going to hit the hardest, and how all those new taxes are going to affect our economy.
Okay, Randy, we did do a show on Affordable Care Act just a little while ago with a terrific guest. He really knew the act, but obviously it means changes, and it's worth doing another program. So thank you for your call. John in Middleton, hello.
Yeah, I would like to see a showcase of local authors where periodically local authors could submit maybe a selection, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages for public exposure and conversation.
Okay. Thank you, John.
You bet.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Lori in Middleton, hi.
Hi. The previous caller just touched on the Affordable Care being in the news and all, and I'd like to see a show that discusses the extreme measures veterinarians recommend for the care of our pets. I'm a pet lover, and I know you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I was raised to treat our pets humanely, but there's no way we would have done some of the things that are being done for the pets today, you know, like major surgeries, autopsies, and therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd really like to know if this is how the majority of pet owners feel, or if we being conditioned by the veterinary and healthcare profession to do more for our pets, or we're a bad pet owner.
Yeah. I think we're just lonely, aren't we? I mean, it must be an indication that we're cut off from each other because, and I, you know, I've been through this. I've spent lots of money on surgery for a dog that I had who was like my daughter. You know, I didn't have family here, and she was my daughter.
Yeah, and, you know, I know. See, and I'm wondering, am I in the minority, or, you know, I would, if my pet broke his leg or something, of course I would
yes,
take him to the vet.
Right.
But some of these things, you know, we
thousands
can't even afford
and thousands.
Healthcare for ourselves.
Right. I know exactly what you're saying. Well, it would be a good show. It would be a good show because I think it says a lot about us, and I'm not sure what it says.
Yeah.
But it's worth exploring that, Lori.
Okay, thank
you. All right,
you.
Thanks. Thanks for the call.
All right, bye.
Bye. Alina in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi, it's Elena.
Oh, Elena. Hi, Elena.
I am calling to suggest that you do a show on the cooperative business model. 2012 is the International Year of the Co-op, so it's a little late for that. But co-ops, I guess, and especially on the subject that they bring democracy to the workplace and to the community. And we have some awesome cooperative things happening in Milwaukee and around the state.
Great. Send us more info. Want to?
Sorry, what was that?
Can you send us more information?
I can. I'm on the board of directors of a Wisconsin's only tavern, cooperatively owned tavern.
Oh.
I'm certainly no expert in the cooperative business model.
Okay.
But yeah, I can definitely find out some
good,
people.
Good.
Who,
yeah, that would be an interesting show.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Elena. And to do all of that, if you want to give us suggestions that go beyond the time we're on the air, then you should go to WPR.org/Kathleen Dunn and fill out the online form, and then it will get directed to Rhonda and to Brett and to me, and we'll all be informed. Let's go to Barry. Hi, Barry.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Yes?
Yeah, we're with you, Barry.
Oh, okay, Joy. I'm sorry. I ran across this lady by way of YouTube, and her name is Susan Lindauer. And very, very informative. Long story real short, she was a CIA asset and dealing mainly with the Middle East before 9/11 and during. And it's very interesting about how she tried to warn the politicians of the upcoming strike, and nobody listened to her, and eventually she was put in jail by way of the Patriot Act. And I sent for her book. It's called Extreme Prejudice.
Okay.
And a terrifying story of the Patriot Act and the cover-up of 9/11 and Iraq.
Okay. Thank you, Barry.
Okay, Joy,
mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's Kathleen, just so that you know, it's not Joy. She's on from 6 to 9. Let's go to Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hello. It's exciting to hear what's coming up in your pipeline. I would like to suggest the state of the honeybee. It's about a third of our food population, and the person I would suggest is Marla Spivak, S-P-I-V-A-K, University of Minnesota, and she won a MacArthur Genius Grant a year or two ago. She's on the cutting edge of all the things that are going on to try to preserve this asset.
Great. Okay. Be a good show for us. Thank you, Mark. Let's go to Wendy in Hawkins. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. I just like to second that on the way these farm animals are treated. I believe it was a lady from Cleveland that called in, and she's completely right. It is horrific, and there needs to be change. I mean, that is God's creature. And I just wanted to second that.
All right, Wendy.
So, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Charlie in Platteville. Hi.
Hi there. There's a book that I read called Winner Take All Politics, and I thought it was a very good book. And it talks about how in the last 30, 35 years, our political scene has changed because of the influence of money. And I thought that would be a good topic to revisit.
Okay, Winner Take All Politics. Thank you.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you the author's name, and I can't. But
that's all right.
It's a book that came out about a year and a half ago.
Okay, that should be enough. Thank you, Charlie. Jean in Menominee. Hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I would like a show about redistricting from the ground up. I understand the politicians aren't going to do it because when either party's in control, they don't want to address it. And I really think it's an issue that needs to be addressed. And I got a feeling that we, the people, are going to have to be the people to push for redistricting to be done in a more fair way.
Okay. I think that is something that we've talked about doing, and we just didn't get to it yet, Jane, but stay tuned, as they say. Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Barbara in Milwaukee. Hello.
Hi, Kathleen. I'd like to suggest a local cardiologist whose name is William Davis. He has written the book Weep Belly, which is actually on the New York Times bestseller list, and he talks about the whole issue of modern wheat and how it's affecting many health issues in our nation, including obesity and diabetes. He's a wonderful speaker. He's my doctor, so I've spoken to him a number of times. And he's funny. He's very well-informed, well-researched, and I think he'd be a great guest.
Is he from Milwaukee?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Great. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Laura in Wausau. Hi.
Yes, good morning. I was wondering if we could do a topic on the Electoral College process. I know there's been much discussion about it during the last election process. I think it would be very interesting to see both sides.
Okay. I know that once when I wasn't here, John Munson did a show on the Electoral College because I didn't want to do it. I hate to admit it, but it's the truth. It reminded me too much of high school debate class. But John embraced it fully, and that's why we have different people here with different ideas. So I would recommend you go to those archives and listen to John's show and expect, the Electoral College is something that's around, and we debate it, year after year after year. So we may do a show on it. And thank you, Laura. But John did the show justice, as he does when he fills in. So it's on our archives within the last month and a half, I'd say. Katie in northern Wisconsin, and maybe our last call. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I wanted to say that I think it would cover a lot of people's topics if you had an evolutionary biologist come and talk about the natural evolution of domestic animals. In general.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Thanks for the call. Well, we had a variety of calls, didn't we? Variety of topics. And if you didn't get through, or if you didn't want to be on the air, or if the idea comes to you in 5 minutes, go to WPR.org/Kathleen Dunn and fill out the online form for suggestions. Do the same if we asked you for more information about suggestion that you gave us during the course of this hour. Well, that was fun. We haven't done that in a long time, and you do give us some great suggestions. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Brett Jaspers, who produced this program. Great conversations ahead. Larry Mueller will be joining you momentarily. And I'll be with you again on Monday for All Things Political, which starts at 9 a.m. Thanks for listening. This is the Ideas Network.